Yes, sir, we promised you a great main event here tonight.
WrestleMania!
WrestleMania in front of us!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to yet another edition of the Cheap Heat Podcast. The number, I don't know, it's been hovering around 100. We need something to get a push, let's be honest, but the charts really are very, very suspect in how they do the numbers. Trust me, it's all about to change soon. That's neither here nor there, because the only rankings that matter today are the Black Power rankings. And who's the man?
Right.
Who's the man when it comes to the Black Power rankings? That would be...
New York to the heart, but got love for all. Lie, die in the fire where I
ladies and gentlemen, there he is. Mr. Uptown Malcolm himself. No stat. Stat guy Greg. How you doing, SGG?
I'm doing real good. You're going to owe me an apology by the end of this. I do have a stat that I want to drop on the show later today concerning John Cena. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
I already know what it's going to be. It's going to be based on the tweet yesterday about the amount of straight losses he has, isn't it?
Mind your business, P. I wasn't even talking to you.
I already knew.
Listeners,
so let's
do you have the number, though? Do you know the number?
No, I don't know what number you're going to go with.
Then allow me to educate you along with the people when we get to really unpacking that John Cena Nakamura match, which we touched on in the interview yesterday.
Yes, and congratulations to you, the listener, because if you're listening again today, then you heard our interview with CFOs yesterday, which I thought was a lot of fun. Just a little bonus, because Greg and I weren't able to get together till now to do the official pod. So I'd been talking to CFOs for a while. I think they've truly changed the feel of the WWE, so I thought it was cool. So if you for some reason didn't listen to that, you jumped ahead, make sure you go back and listen to that podcast. But right now, there's two things you have to note. Number one, SGG, at some point I may be getting a call back from JetBlue where I have to give them my pre-check number. And number two,
okay.
And number two, DJ Juanito just walked in here. Juanito, is there a sound problem?
Yeah, low.
You want Greg louder?
Yes.
All right. Turned up Greg a little louder. I'll keep him hotter for you. No problem, buddy. No problem at all. So, SGG, number one thought concerning pro wrestling this week is?
Me?
I'm asking.
Well, yeah, yesterday I talked about the Aleister Black situation, but let's get into the Nakamura going into SummerSlam as the number one contender. I'm not going to lie, that concerns me a little bit.
Which part concerns you?
Well, yesterday I saw a tweet as well that mentioned a bit of a disturbing pattern, if you will. You see, CM Punk went into SummerSlam as an internet darling, won the WWE Championship, and then immediately lost it to the Money in the Bank winner. Same thing happened to Daniel Bryan.
Ooh, that's a very good point.
Here again, we have an indie darling poised to win the WWE Championship and a Money in the Bank winner right around the corner.
Very interesting thought I had not considered. Well, I don't think it's a disturbing... Here's why I don't think it's disturbing, SGG. I don't think it's disturbing because, you know, I don't want that. Don't want that one, you know, because I want it on separate channels in here. Jesus. I don't need Nakamura to win the title. I think there's a good chance Jinder Mahal keeps the title. What I would say is that I just don't know that we needed to get to this point right now. I thought that the simple, you know, listen, I'm not a booker, SGG, neither are you, but I believe the simple booking of Oh, hold on. This is very important. Everyone, hold on right now. I will be back. Well, you won't hear that I'm going away, but I have to take this call from JetBlue. So I'll be back in literally 1 second. See? And just like that, we're back. All right, so SGG, here's the point I was going to make. I just think this is one of those situations in which I don't know. Listen, you don't want to have Nakamura. I understand not wanting to have Nakamura lose to Cena. I do get that. Although I think there's a way to go about doing that that would not bury Nakamura in any way. But I just feel like it's one of those things that the obvious booking here of John Cena and Jinder Mahal is what makes sense for everyone. And then Jinder Mahal goes over John Cena and it really puts him on, really takes Jinder Mahal to that next level. And then you build longer with Shinsuke. Now, that being said, they could use the match that happened this past week on SmackDown to just build more of a story for John Cena and Shinsuke Nakamura at some point. But I just don't know. I have mixed feelings about what this does, because if Nakamura wins the title at SummerSlam, it's like, is that a waste? Should the Nakamura moment, crowning moment, come at WrestleMania? You know, I mean, like, is next year's WrestleMania, was it meant to be Nakamura wins the title for the first time over whoever has the SmackDown title, the WWE Championship, and Roman Reigns either dethrones Brock Lesnar or John Cena, and those are the two crowning moments you have at WrestleMania? Anyways, I'm not saying there's a right or wrong answer, but that did pop in my head. It seems a little fast for Nakamura, Jinder Mahal. But that being said, I'm still excited to see it. It's one of those matches I'm very curious about. SGG, what were your thoughts?
I think it's fine that he's going in. My immediate thought, though, was that it's kind of cool to see, like, two Asians going at it for the WWE Championship. And, like, that's wild to me. I don't think it's ever happened where you've had no body white in the WWE Championship match, especially at a SummerSlam or like one of these big four pay-per-views. So that to me was cool right there, just like the diversity going into this SummerSlam right at the top. With that said, I don't think it's too fast for Shinsuke, but what I do think is that, and Stone Cold made this point on his podcast too, is that the King of Strong Style has to be the King of, you know, Strong Style. Like, he has to start taking out these opponents fairly quickly. And I'm talking like under 10 minutes in dominant fashion. We've seen Nakamura be too vulnerable too much. And, you know, I hate that this would have to be at the expense of the Maharaja, but if he's going to be WWE champion, we need his swagger to be on another level. And I know that's crazy to sound, because he's already at a high level as it is, but they need to turn it up again. If calling him the King of Strong Style is going to mean anything.
How do you do that? How do you turn him up more? Or is it more just about the way he works?
Yeah, I think it's more just about the way he works. He has to, you know, look less vulnerable in these matches, and he just has to dominate.
Now, what did you think of the match itself with John Cena, besides the part when John Cena was almost decapitated?
Oh, I thought it was a great match. And you made the point, I can't remember if this was yesterday on the podcast or if this was in the group chat, but just that Cena's been having, like, an incredible run of matches just these past few years. And I'd even add to that point that it went back even further than just the Kevin Owens match. And granted, like, even Cena has been operating at a new level since the KO match, but I'd argue that it went back even further than that. But the problem was that Cena was Roman Reigns, basically, and every one of his matches, his opponent got the credit for carrying him. And Cena, at least, like, especially with this Nakamura match, I got to see the Cena that all these WWE legends saw, because for years, you had people like Stone Cold and Triple H and Shawn Michaels and even Bret Hart. And, like, all these legends say that John Cena can go, and you didn't always see it. I mean, you saw it against high-level workers like an AJ Styles or a KO, but you didn't always see it. And in this match, I mean, I guess you can really see it.
Yeah, I think it
was the guy that they said he was.
I think it's gotten clear, more and more clear as the years have gone on, that he really, what he's capable of. Because like I said yesterday, they're always going to be certain people who see him a certain way, and you're just going to be like, you know, it's just not my style. There's just little things he does that I don't like for whatever reason stylistically. But when it's all said and done, like, you take a match like the one on Tuesday, and you see just how he, but part of it, also, like, I'll tell you this, and this is something I would disagree with, for example, with someone like our friend Zach Linder. I don't think it has been there forever. Like, I think he's actually improved, too. He's gotten a little less cartoonish as time has gone on. And Shinsuke Nakamura is better this week than he was last week because he had that match with John Cena. And I do agree with Stone Cold's point, though, about that he may have to go to yet another level, especially if he's going to just go walk into SummerSlam and take the title. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out and how much they focus on this match. I got to tell you, I think it ends up being really the biggest match because ultimately the other match, the big match from Raw, is a Fatal 4-Way. And Fatal 4-Ways are a big deal. But do you think this now becomes, could this now be the final match?
I don't know, because it's Brock Lesnar and it's Roman Reigns. You know, like,
it's just too much star power in one match.
Yeah, Roman Reigns just main evented, what, 3 WrestleManias in a row? So I'm expecting him to be in the final match at SummerSlam. You know, it's not worth calling it the main event because they could all be main events and then one could start the show, but he's going to be in the match that closes the show, I'm expecting.
Yeah, you're right. When you think about it, obviously it has to be that match with that much star power in it. But for me, as a fan, I end up coming away being more excited usually about a one-on-one match for a championship than a Fatal 4-Way. But either way, it's an interesting time for Shinsuke Nakamura and for John Cena, and to keep thinking about what Cena does. And also, where does Cena go now?
Cena goes to Raw, right? Or you mean for SummerSlam?
I don't know. I don't know what happens now. Didn't someone indicate something happened and they were already setting something up with, like, maybe Baron Corbin for Cena?
Yes. So, apparently, WWE.com first posted, you know, a recap of SmackDown, except that their recap basically indicated what was originally supposed to happen. And this article mentioned that Baron Corbin came down to ringside and attempted to attack Nakamura, but he ended up taking out Cena instead, which allowed Nakamura to pin John Cena. This obviously would set up the Cena-Corbin match. And also, this obviously didn't happen. Nakamura pinned John Cena clean. But backstage, Corbin attacked Nakamura after the match, and Cena made a save. It seems as if they're setting up for John Cena, Baron Corbin that way rather than what I can only assume was originally supposed to happen, which was Corbin coming down to the ring with the Money in the Bank briefcase and taking out John Cena.
What is this video? Wow. No, it's not me. Shinsuke Nakamura gets attacked by Baron Corbin and Cena stops him and puts him through a table? Is that what happened here? Hold on.
Is that what you saw?
This is on the WWE YouTube page. Hold on. Let's see.
Exclusive continued coverage. coverage of SmackDown Live. Shinsuke Nakamura just moments ago defeating John Cena to earn a WWE title opportunity at SummerSlam.
I think in a lot of ways you look at this victory as a career-defining moment for Shinsuke Nakamura, now on the heels of another potential career-defining moment, and that is the opportunity to become WWE champion.
Shinsuke took a time off in 2006, traveled all over the world, Brazil, Mexico, Russia, even trained with Brock Lesnar to learn more about the game. And
It's Baron Corbin! Get some money in the bank, Baron Corbin! And Corbin's going after Nakamura! And remember, Nakamura had beaten Corbin to get this opportunity.
Oh,
and Cena back in! Cena going after Corbin now!
Cena with some horrible punches in the corner. Sorry, John. Those were horrible.
The injustice of the situation here.
Oh, man.
Corbin
right hand.
Shot to Cena.
How did you get John? See, what a... Wonder how do you guys feel about us giving you actual highlights you probably didn't see unless you've been on .com this week?
Let's be honest. The people who listen to our show saw it probably right away.
No, I don't know, because there are a lot of nerds. You and I are nerds, and I haven't seen this yet. Corbin now just cleared off the announcer's table and just pulled the steps, the metal steps next to the announcer's table. He's now grabbing Cena, dragging John Cena by the head. Bah! Head off the metal steps.
John Cena as well.
Thanks, John.
And the worry you should have if you're the WWE champion is this the man that owns the... I don't like the looks of this.
Corbin's climbing the steps, and now he's pulling Cena up the steps. Oh, wait, but now Cena reverses, and Cena now takes Corbin.
And there you have it.
So, I guess that's what we'll be getting then. And so how do we feel about John Cena and Baron Corbin added to the SummerSlam card?
You know, Baron Corbin's been getting a lot of opportunities lately. Happy for him. Only he can mess this up, because they've done everything they can to position him to be a top guy, a top bad guy. Some people feeling it, some people are not. I jump the fence. Sometimes I'm on the not side this go around, but we'll see. Hopefully John Cena can make him, because John Cena has helped boost a lot of careers, that John Cena rub.
I'll tell you right now, though, I do feel that this will be one where Cena wins. I think Cena will make Corbin look like $1 million and win. I just don't know that you can have Cena lose again. You know, you can't have it get to the point where it's meaningless and he literally starts losing to everyone. By the way, what a bizarre conversation to even have about John Cena. There was a time when we couldn't
John Cena's not losing.
There's a time when the idea of even having that conversation is absurd. By the way, so Greg, I don't want to ruin your stat. You can get to it later, but we were talking about the video that went around with every John Cena clean one-on-one loss ever.
And it's a short video, too, which is crazy. It's like 4 minutes, 5 minutes.
But I'll tell you what, it's still a little bit more than I remembered, because I, like, forgotten all of them, especially Great Khali.
Yeah, I forgot that, too. And there's a random Big Show one thrown in there.
Yeah.
That I didn't remember.
Oh, but you know what that was for, though? That was setting up Mayweather. I'm pretty
sure they didn't need that, though.
I'm pretty sure that was setting up Mayweather. I know, but that's what it had to be, because it said it was a couple weeks before WrestleMania. If Big Show beat John Cena a couple weeks before WrestleMania, I guarantee you it was the Floyd Mayweather year when they really were behind that match. But to see Great Khali just do his little weird, lame Khali powerbomb thing and pin Cena with his foot on Saturday night's main event, clean.
Which I love, by the way. That's so disrespectful, but also so perfect. And I wish more people did that. Like, little things from my childhood that happened all the time, I wish more people did.
What do you mean? Like, are you referring to Saturday night's main event or the foot on the chest?
No, the foot on the chest. The foot on the chest is a brilliant, like, I love that move. And even, like, when the ref would check the hand for when they're in the sleeper hold and do the 1, 2, 3, like, raise the hand and let it drop. Like, more of those little things. I don't know why they – I guess they moved away from it for legitimacy purposes, but
– Nah, the foot on the chest, though, if someone's laid out, it's such a heelish thing to do.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Like, it's there's so much heat in doing that. Now, other big story of the week that has to be talked about is Bailey.
Shoulder injury.
It has to be a separated shoulder, in my opinion. Greg, you know firsthand about my history with separated shoulders.
Yes.
And she got thrown. Someone was like, what do you think about the botch? I didn't see it as a botch. I mean, maybe I'm misunderstanding it. Did you see the move that Nia did? Did it look like anything? Was it just that she did it too hard?
Yeah, I didn't see it as a botch either. I guess it just was too aggressive, if anything, which would have been right in line with Nia's character. But
I mean, when you throw someone face down into the ground, there's a chance that you get hurt. So we don't know how serious that'll be. And a separated shoulder, assuming that's what it is, I mean, it means different things to different people. You know, she finished that match. And I'll tell you right now, I don't know about the injury yet. There are a few, like, three different degrees of separations. I had the lightest degree, I think, or second lightest.
You were still out for, like, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, right?
Yeah. First of all, the amount of pain I was in initially to go and then do something in which she still had to work a little bit. Like, she got thrown into a corner still. She took, like, a little mini avalanche from Nia Jax after that. Your shoulder hurts so bad. It is so – let me put it this way. Sleeping for the first week after a shoulder separation for me was – sleeping was horrible. Now, granted, I don't have – knock on wood, thank you. I'm not a real athlete, so I've never had a lot of real injuries. But for me, that was my first real injury. It was really painful to do everything. So you don't know the degree at which it hurts and how bad the separation is. And listen, there are football players who – get a separated shoulder on Sunday and play the following Sunday. So you don't know. But it certainly puts things into question. And I wonder what they decide to do and if we end up getting the Sasha Banks-Alexa Bliss match that we wanted. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, this is the match that we wanted, Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss, but you almost don't want it like that. You know what I mean? You don't want somebody to get hurt and
get
out of the way.
Especially Bailey, who's the nicest person on earth. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Also, Greg, I will tell you this. I'm not going to spend time putting myself over. I know. I'm not going to do it, guys. Don't worry. But I did hear, I mean, everyone basically told me that it was the best Bring It to the Table so far.
I would agree with that.
I think we actually surprised me on what we were able to talk about.
And that's the thing, too. I think you surprised everyone with just how much freedom you have. And that's almost what makes it must-see, because it's like you have – all these different perspectives, and there doesn't seem to be, like, a leash on anything. Like, you brought up the JBL moral situation. You brought up Enzo getting kicked off the bus situation.
By the way, the rumors now on the dirt sheets about Enzo are even worse. That, like, they want him off of – they want them off of Raw and SmackDown because they want him nowhere near Vince McMahon. Like, damn. Like,
and those you have to take with a grain of salt, but at the same time, it's like, for Bring It to the Table, though, it's great because you guys get to go there and you guys get to touch on it. And for the fans, for everybody, it's wonderful because even if you are just stirring the pot, which it doesn't seem like you are most of the time, you don't care. Like, it's just to see that acknowledgement from WWE that, you know, the internet fans are there and this is what they're saying, and, you know, not have it be dismissed and brushed off, but, like, actually addressed. It's a win-win-win for everybody, for you, the fans, the WWE, the network, everybody wins.
Now, it's getting there. I hope we get a chance to keep doing it. I was pretty pleased with it. Now, real quick, I need you, need, if you're a supporter of this podcast and you love what I do, to jump on iTunes and search for Bite the Mic and subscribe to the podcast with Mike Tyson. The episode with Lennox Lewis, incredible. The Flavor Flav episode, incredible. And as time goes on, we'll do more episodes with just me and Mike and cover all kinds of stuff. But would love your support, if you're a supporter of this podcast, to subscribe to Bite the Mic. It's free, obviously. So I'd love for you to check that out.
Just to jump on that, too, the episode with Lennox Lewis is incredible. Like, I didn't realize it had a history that went back that deep. Like, because you know how some people, you know, they're all in the same profession, so you expect them to cross paths. But, like, these guys didn't really, they didn't just cross paths. Like, they ran in a circle together for a little while, and, like, it was cool to see, like, how much respect they had even going way back to, like, their teenage years.
Yeah, their story is super deep and interesting. And now what I really want to do, I got to work on it. I want to get Steve Austin on the podcast. I want to hear Austin's version of the Tyson story at WWE. Because Austin should be able to tell it really well. I think the two people who could really tell it are Shane McMahon and Steve Austin.
Well, what I think is that this sounds like a Bite the Mic Cheap Heat collabo episode. And if there's anybody that can make that happen.
It's a very good point. That is exactly what it sounds like.
You are the guy that makes that happen.
All right, so SGG, what else from the world of pro wrestling this week?
From the world of pro wrestling, John Jones is not simply backing down off of his Brock Lesnar challenge. Immediately called him out after his win over Daniel Cormier.
The wrestling moment, we're talking about wrestling moments, the Daniel Cormier, what John Jones said about Daniel Cormier in ring, and then Jones, what John Jones said about Cormier, and then Cormier's, like, crying response was straight out of WWE. I mean, it was so well done. Like, it seemed scripted. Like, it was almost too much. Like, I couldn't even. And then Cormier saying the line about, well, I guess if you lose twice, I guess
it's not a rivalry. That was so. Like, I went into the match pulling for Jones, and glad to see him win and be the champion again. But at the same time, like, you have to give DC a lot of respect for how he fought and how he handled himself.
Let's see. Hold on.
The fight.
He came back.
It is over. Yeah, you know what, Joe? I want to take this time to thank Daniel Cormier for being my biggest rival and motivator. Daniel Cormier, guys, he has absolutely no reason to hang his head. He has been a model champion, a model husband, a model father, a teammate, leader, and I aspire to be a lot more like that man because he's an amazing human being.
I mean, that is...
Yeah, high praise and well deserved.
And then you get this, which was pretty heartbreaking to watch, especially knowing he was just concussed, etc.
They've been knocked out, but I really wanted to give you a chance to express yourself. I know this was an incredible moment for you. It was very emotional. What can you say at all about this and the rivalry between you and John?
I don't know, man. I guess if you win both fights, there is no rivalry. So I don't know.
Thank you for everything, Daniel Cormier, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeesh. Tough moment, but what a way. You couldn't have booked it any better if you want John Jones and Brock Lesnar now. Although, here's the question I have. Is there danger? Is there danger to, if Brock Lesnar still, is there a world in which Brock Lesnar could fight John Jones while having the WWE The Raw Universal Championship.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. Especially because that's a new championship. Like, people keep bringing this up. That is a new championship, new lineage. Send that title on to on tour. Let him go to the UFC with it. Let it get some exposure outside of the company, and be discussed and put on the pedestal. Like, have him take to the press conference and sit it right up there where all those UFC titles usually sit at the table with Dana White, and let everybody know that this is not just some professional wrestler carrying a professional wrestling championship. Like, this is the real deal. And this title means something in the fight world, not just in the professional wrestling world, but in the world of combat sports, period. And if you want to add legitimacy to your title and to your company, that's exactly what you do.
It's just a matter of whether or not it's too much of a risk if he ends up getting his ass beat by the smaller John Jones. But John Jones may be the best ever, so I don't think
they could script that, though. They could script Brock Lesnar getting his ass beat by a smaller guy. We don't care about that. Like, but it's not about like that for Brock Lesnar's ego. Yeah, that would be terrible. But for the Universal Championship, it doesn't matter if he wins or loses. It doesn't matter if he wins or loses in the octagon. It doesn't matter if he wins or loses in the WWE ring. What matters is how people perceive the championship, not necessarily the champion, but the championship. And the championship has a lot to gain from being regarded and held in such high esteem by people outside of the WWE, especially this brand new championship that wrestling fans don't even necessarily take seriously.
That's an interesting point, SGG. How do you think things are going in the Shield situation, the Shield of Jace, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose reuniting?
I think it's coming along. they're definitely look to be reunited by SummerSlam, and this is gonna sound crazy, but I don't necessarily see the three of them coming together to form a full Shield, but I could see a world where, and maybe this is the Monday after SummerSlam, where you have Roman Reigns as the WWE champion and Ambrose and Rollins as the Raw Tag Team champions, and they're all walking around with gold. Now, we might not see any Shield hugs or Shield fist bumps, but with them all as champions, it would make sense to link up and protect those championships.
That would be interesting, though. That would be a fun way to start that Raw, all of them in the ring at the same time. Now, isn't it crazy that SummerSlam is going to be in that same building four nights straight? I mean, SummerSlam weekend.
Yeah, it's always.
But this is new. Crazy to me. This is the first time they've done four straight.
Yeah, because last year SmackDown was taped, right? So they moved it out.
I forget where.
What was it?
I just know that
SmackDown was.
They only added the SmackDown thing to WrestleMania weekend. I thought this year, or was it maybe last year? But like
four in a row is tough, man.
Do you have plans yet on what you hope to anticipate going to? Obviously, you're yet to ask me, so I'm guessing I'll know about. I might as well ask you this right now. What are you hoping to go to, Greg?
hoping for NXT and SummerSlam, or even one of the two. Raw and SmackDown is four in a row is out of the question. Like, that's madness. The person who goes to four in a row deserves like a gold star and needs a hobby, because like that's just too much to go to the same building. Like, you might as well work there. If you go to the Barclays Center 4 days in a row for wrestling and you don't work there, then that's crazy. You can give yourself a break.
That is a very good point. And I wonder how tickets are for the second two. SummerSlam sold out. I think NXT is doing good. I wonder how tickets are doing for Raw and SmackDown, because you really are asking to get like the most hardcore of people, because you're right. You have to find all the wrestling fans because that would ever go to a live show. Cause you're right. Even if you're a huge fan, two is probably is the limit. Three is if you're, like, out of control. Almost mm-hmm. no one's doing four. So,
yep.
You gotta,
that's almost 12 hours of wrestling live. And then you got to talk about, like, that's just, like, the main card. Because then when you throw in the pre-show, and then you throw in 205 Live after SmackDown and dark matches and this and that, like, you spend half a work week in the Barclays Center watching wrestling.
It's a lot. I don't know what I'm doing yet. So I'm guessing I'll be there at some point every day. I don't know. I don't know how much they're using me. I don't know.
See, you'll be working, though. You'll be working. So it's fine. Like,
but I don't
you
even.
You know what? All those superstars.
And by the way, none of the superstars are doing 4 days straight. SmackDown and Raw. I mean, first of all, the main roster ain't doing Saturday. So they, if some of them may show up to watch the show. But main roster ain't showing up Saturday. NXT ain't working on Sunday. SmackDown ain't going Monday, and Raw isn't going Tuesday. So if you are going to all four, bless you. It's incredible. You are a real, true hardcore fan. I wonder if anyone's doing that. But yeah, it, you know, basically what you need to hope to do if you're WWE is this weekend to sell this out is like selling out another WrestleMania over the course of a weekend.
Yeah.
You got to sell 70,000 tickets or so in that range.
I think they set themselves up nicely to be able to do it, though, because Raw and SmackDown have two distinctly different feels. And, you know, the hardcore fans watch both. But I suspect that they've been able to each create their own fan base. So even though there's going to be some overlap, I do think there are going to be some SmackDown fans who are just excited to go see SmackDown, and there's going to be some Raw fans who are just excited to go see Raw, and hopefully they get those guys to come out on Monday and Tuesday.
It'll be interesting to see, but I'm very excited for the weekend in general. And here's the thing, I'm guessing now I've locked in what we're doing for Cheap Heat Live. Okay.
Woo!
Now, next week, I'm hoping by next week, and I'm pretty confident by next week, I will be able to tell you how it's going to go down. I have good news.
So, do we have a date?
I do have a date. I have a date, and I'll give it to you right now. The date is Thursday, August 18th. Sorry, that's Friday. Thursday, the 17th. Thursday, August 17th is the date. New York City is the place. The good news is there will definitely be some amazing special guests. The bad news is this is not going to be a mass ticketed event. This is
like limited edition.
This is in all likelihood going to be a win and in. So, I am working out the number right now. My goal number to get into this event, and it will be free, is 100 people. 100 peckerheads is the goal. Now, maybe there's a world where I could figure it out and we could do paid ticketing and I could have more people in the room, which I would love to because it would be great for more people to go. But in all likelihood, I think there's a very good chance it ends up being very limited, 100 max peckerheads getting to witness a really great. Listen, let me keep it real with you guys. Do you know how many podcasts or live podcasts are on that weekend?
Yeah, I saw Sam has one coming that weekend.
Well, and Sam also took our venue, Highline Ballroom. We can't do anything.
We can't do anything.
Guys, I mean, listen, we're pioneers in many ways, in many, many ways. But Sam's now at Highline Ballroom. Conrad and Pritchard have two. There's an indie show I know in Brooklyn, I think. There are mad events to spend your money on that weekend. And
this one's going to be free.
Yeah, I listen, I was not scared of getting in the comp. I was not scared of getting in and trying to sell tickets also. But I just thought, given what my week will entail, I was like, you know what? It's just I don't feel like stressing it. And the event that I'll be able to put together this way, in terms of less people will see it, but what they're going to get will be so mage. And I will also say this. I have completed the designs for the two new SummerSlam t-shirt releases. And unlike last time, we will do a nice big run online because I don't even know if I'm going to sell them in person. I don't know if they'll be sold at the event yet or whether it will only be an online thing. So what I will do is a window that they are for sale online and then they go away. So I think instead of a set number, what I'm more likely to do is take orders. What do you think about that, Greg? So, like, we take orders, let's say, from the Thursday of SummerSlam for, like, a full week or something. And after that time, they're done. That was it. Those are the SummerSlam shirts. What are your thoughts?
That sounds solid to me. And we might be able to reach more peckerheads and humanoids that way. I know last year, you know, there were some people who were disappointed that they weren't going to be able to be there live to buy shirts, and so they weren't sure if they were going to be able to get. So now everybody knows.
No, we're going to do it online for sure this time because these ones are so mage. I would argue that one of the shirts being made to date would probably be considered like, this will maybe consider like, oh, well, this is the Cheap Heat shirt. Like, this is... I mean, listen, that original one is always going to be a classic now. But this one that we're making is once it's the original era, it's the new era, it's the new era, it's everything. It's all in there. And then, you know, there are certain people who obviously have a certain kind of taste. And for those people, you know, who have that certain kind of taste... maybe something for you as well. So it's going to be very, very, very exciting, SGG. Now, we got to talk about Jason Jordan and
yes. His
moment.
Number one on the Black Power rankings this week.
Oh, well, then you know what? Is it time? Do you have the rankings ready? Let me come up with a theme song for you, SGG. Hold on. Black Power. Let me see. Hold on. Hold on. Do I have? Ah, here we go. You ready? Do you have them ready?
I do have them ready.
Here we go. Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, the first ever Uptown Malcolm presents Cheap Heat Black Power Rankings. How many superstars will be in this ranking, Greg?
Well, we got some who are unranked. Got to mention them and why. We have a couple honorable mentions. And on the official inaugural rankings, because, you know, we don't get that much TV time all the time.
You're doing five?
Four of us.
Four?
Four.
So it's a top four.
Well, I can do five. Do five.
We'll be the Black Power rankings, top five. First honorable mentions, SGG, or people who didn't even make it.
Well, honorable mentions, we're going to start out on the gate on the positive. We're going to go... John Jones and DC get an honorable mention because, you know, while they don't fight in the WWE, they put on an excellent fight this past weekend.
That's right.
And John Jones is poised to take on the Beast and possibly take down the Beast, so he gets an honorable mention in the inaugural Black Power Rankings. Mark Henry also gets
Mark Henry, what is Mark getting it for? Is it because of his appearance at Peter Palooza last Thursday?
Not only the Peter Palooza appearance, but also he's a Harlemite, so I can't leave him out. But also, it seems as if he retired.
Now, hold on, let's celebrate.
Recently.
It seems like what?
It seems like he might also be a fellow Harlemite.
A fellow Harlemite? He is a Harlemite.
Yes.
He's honorary, at least.
He is.
He lives in Austin. He lives in Austin most of the time, but You can be walking down the street and at any moment hear this. Okay, and what else? What else happened with Mark Henry?
It seems like he retired. I'm not sure if he officially retired. He made a comment on a recent Table for Three, mentioned that he was going to be transitioning from in-ring to a full-time employee at WWE and basically recruiting talent. I don't know if he's transitioned into that yet, but if we never get to see him again, then I just want him to know. Honorable mention on the Black Power Rankings.
What a great... I mean, listen, I don't know yet what his official situation is. He is definitely transitioning to some sort of new role. Whether we'll see him, I'm not sure. But absolutely the biggest honor, I'm sure, of his career would be making the Black Power list.
Yes. And unranked, gotta mention New Day. We didn't see them on SmackDown this past week.
Sad.
Sasha Banks is also unranked because we didn't get to see her on Raw. And unranked as well is Aleister Black, who is not black, but his name says black. So I felt like we couldn't just leave him out of the Black Power rankings. But he's going unranked as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
although that could be a big change. She could skyrocket to the top next week.
He could, but right now he's unranked.
Okay.
In at number five is Cedric Alexander.
Wow, okay.
There was a six-man tag team match on Monday Night Raw, and Cedric Alexander teamed with Akira Tozawa and Rich Swann to defeat TJP, Tony Nese, and Arya Daivari. So for being on the winning squad, Cedric Alexander is in at number five. Now, in at number four is Rich Swann, who is also a winner, but he debuted a new look. We're used to seeing him in tights, but now he came out with like these leather pants that I thought they were a nice little change. So for the new look and the win, Rich Swann is in at number four. In at number three, we have SmackDown Women's Champion Naomi, who was also a part of a multi-person, he's actually a tag match. Naomi and Charlotte defeated, let me get these results.
You're falling apart. Naomi, the Black Power rankings are falling apart.
Well, put it like this. Naomi's a winner, and she is going in at number three on the Black Power rankings.
All right. Down to the big final two in the Black Power rankings.
Ember Moon.
Wow, Ember Moon skyrocketing.
Ember Moon is in at number two. Like I said, I really enjoyed this past week's edition of NXT. And Ember Moon came out to confront the NXT Women's Champion, Asuka, and ended up getting the upper hand over NXT Women's Champion, Asuka.
Midge.
And she seems poised to take the NXT Women's Championship at SummerSlam. So for that, Ember Moon in at number two on the Black Power Rankings. And in at number one, Jason Jordan.
So that takes us right into talk about Jason Jordan there, SGG. I guess that means you like Jason Jordan's performance on Miz TV.
I do. And his performance on Miz TV reminded me of a comment that you made last week on the podcast. And it seems as if you're going to get your wish. You mentioned that you would like to see Jason Jordan and Kurt Angle go in the direction where there was some nepotism showed and some favoritism showed because he's revealed to be Kurt Angle's son.
Yep.
And he may get an opportunity that he didn't necessarily earn and a championship opportunity at that.
I would love it.
You you seem to be getting your wish. Here he is on this TV. Now, they seem to be making it more organic than just my dad's the boss and I am going to get a championship because of that. He's establishing an antagonistic relationship with the Miz. But it doesn't matter. It looks like we're going that way for SummerSlam.
I want to give a couple of disagreements real quick to people. Number one, people thought that Jordan wasn't that good. And I'm not saying he was amazing, but I'll tell you one thing. I think he was better than people realized. I mean, I just didn't think he was bad. I was pleasantly surprised. But that may be based on the fact that, as Corey Graves alluded to, I'm bringing to the table, Jason Jordan can't talk. He's an unbelievable athlete. He is not a talker. That being said, I thought he was pretty good. Like, I really did. I thought his talking was pretty good. Also, like Goldstein said, I've heard other people mention that it was a mistake that he referred to Kurt as Kurt and not Dad. That wasn't a mistake. That was intentional. He's not instantly calling the dude Dad. He found out about this 2 weeks ago. There are people who find out about their dad being their dad later, but they already have someone who they consider their dad, and they only call that their real-life dad by their first name. That happens. So I didn't see it as that. I saw that as they're building somewhere with their relationship, and so he still referred to him as Kurt. My only issue I had with the whole segment was I thought the end was a little rushed. I thought there should have been a little bit more of a build and maybe like a slap from Miz, or maybe the Miz, the whole thing when the Miz talked about his dad, like after he said, you can talk about me, don't talk about my dad, I would have liked for them to get in each other's face and him to say, I'll tell you right now, your dad is, and went off on his dad. And then it gets to the like a feverish point where when he hits the suplex, people just lose it. I thought it was jumped just a little bit. So the crowd ended up kind of lukewarm after he hit it, versus like really, really popping for it. But I overall thought the segment was good. I thought this was a good start. It wasn't like, oh, it wasn't a holy-ish moment, but I think this is a good start. And I guess you're right. You know, I'm so stupid. I hadn't really thought about that. We probably are on our way to Miz Jason Jordan at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I mean, they got to start building toward this show. And it looks like I said, it looks like you're going to get your wish.
And also, it would also seem clear that that's where it's going, and I should have thought of this because we know that, thank you, let's all take a moment to celebrate The Miz and Dean Ambrose being done. Time to take a moment and celebrate because Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins are clearly moving on to Cesaro and Sheamus, and now it looks like The Miz is moving on to Jason Jordan, and we can finally leave behind the very like the most okay feud of all time, Dean Ambrose and The Miz, two really talented guys whose chemistry was just okay, and it was ready. It just maybe their chemistry was great, but it was too long. It didn't have that sort of impact. Time to move on, and so we do. So I am excited for Jason Jordan to see what happens. I'm excited to see babyface Jason Jordan. Like you said, I love the idea of him getting too many opportunities and quickly becoming heel Jason Jordan. I love the idea of him being really obnoxious with Kurt Angle. It doesn't require that much talking to say, it's true. You know, I just want to tell you right now, you're the greatest.
I like his catchphrase, too.
You're the greatest son in the world. Oh, it's true. It's damn true. What'd you say, Greg?
No, I was going to say, I like his new catchphrase, too. Gold-blooded.
Gold-blooded's pretty good.
I can see that getting under people's skin, too.
And that T-shirt will be coming in moments. By the way, I was listening to Wade Keller's podcast. Shout out to Wade Keller and The Torch, Pro Wrestling Torch. And they were talking about the merch being sold in Pittsburgh. Man, they really do a lot of like local-specific merch these days. Not only were they doing the Suplex City merch for Pittsburgh, but they did a specific, they also did a specific Kurt Angle merch as well.
Oh, wow. because they do the 316s as well for each different
and they,
city
and,
they're in now.
Exactly, and they did like Steel City 316 or something like that. It's a lot of different local specific merch that I did not know about.
Maybe they're influenced by the Chiefs universe. You know, get that merch limited amount for a live show, sell it out.
Now, by the way,
where have I seen that done before?
Well said. Now, before I before we start to getting to wrap up here, I gotta also mention I gotta put over one more thing, but I'm gonna give you some information. It's not just to put myself over. Did you, Greg, get to see this? I'm guessing you did. If I know you.
Oh, I know. Is it the video?
Hold on, everyone. No. I'm messing up. Don't mess it up, Rosenberg. Don't mess it up. There we go.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Peter Rosenberg here. My guest at this time, the one and only Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Rick, I'm hearing a lot about what's happening here in New York City. SummerSlam weekend, Foot Locker, Puma, the WWE, a whole lot of action.
Woo! Bright lights, big city, pretty ladies, Foot Locker, Puma. Woo! Styling and profiling. Puma, look at all they can look. North, SummerSlam weekend. Be here, New York. Woo!
The Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Puma, bright lights. Big city, pretty lights. Woo!
We're going back to you. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Peter.
I mean, that was one of the most mage things that's ever happened in my life.
Yeah. Best promo of Ric Flair's career.
I loved it. Zach Linder hit us with the funniest text, too. He's like everyone always says, bright lights, big city, pretty ladies, Foot Locker. Or Puma, whichever one he said. But my favorite part about it is, so to make a long story short, if you pay attention to that video on my Instagram, Rosenberg Radio.
Oh, so much.
Did you,
so much info in that video.
Did you look in the background? Were you able to see?
I did. And it finally clicked because when you initially mentioned this this project, you mentioned a treat that you would like to enjoy on a nice day or something cold on a hot day. And my mind went to Stone Cold because I know he likes to have a cold one every now and again, especially when it's hot outside. But then I'm looking at in the background and I see the ice cream bars on the table. So not only do you have like your shirt that you're wearing, but then the shirts and the hangers and then like the ice cream bars in the back. And I'm just like, damn it, get it again.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I'm about to do a Insta story right now where I zoom in. Cause you're right, Greg. A lot of people might not get it. If you look at the shirt I'm wearing. Okay. Then look at the shirts on the hanger. Then look at that box with the sneakers right there. A lot of information. There's a lot of information there. So Rick and I got together to do this little promo thing for Foot Locker, the SummerSlam releases that we're doing. And we were just doing stuff that's coming out like next week. And then they're like, oh, well, while you're here, we might as well shoot video with you guys. I was like, yeah, that's probably a good idea. She's like, well, what do you want to do? And I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, oh, let me do it old school, like interview style. And I was like, let's treat it like, you know, world championship wrestling way back in the day, small studio vibe. So I had to like explain to the dude shooting. I was like, here's how we do it. I say this. And then when I introduce his name, you zoom out so you see him. And little detail to it like that made me so happy. And my favorite thing is the way that he starts off going, woo, bright lights. It's such a classic Flair. Flair of 2017. Obviously, tone-wise, doesn't always hit the same thing that it used to. But, man, does he hit it in that thing. So, guys, I promise you, if you look at those shirts that you see in the background, the Ric Flair shirts, the Bobby Heenan shirt I'm wearing, there's no sort of Puma logo on the front of these shirts. There's no logo on the front of these shirts. Just beautiful, classic pictures, some of which were purchased from Pro Wrestling Illustrated from the great Bill Apter. So, man, I'm telling you, I'll get you more information as that comes, but the Foot Locker release is SummerSlam weekend, and they're having an event, too, Saturday the 19th. So there's going to be a whole lot going on. SummerSlam weekend. Greg, is there anything we really didn't get to from the week that was? I mean, I know we didn't even talk about the Fatal 4-Way very much, but I'll be honest. You know, on Keller's podcast, they were really looking into a lot about what it means and looking at, like, the results of the match now in terms of what that makes you think is going to happen at the pay-per-view. Like, I sort of feel that's a bit, I don't know, it's looking into it a little bit too much. Like, because Roman won, because Roman won here, that means someone else got... I don't think we know. I mean, the most interesting thing, of course, that happens, Greg, this week is that Paul Heyman says if Brock Lesnar loses, him and Paul Heyman are leaving, which, of course, opens the door and gets everyone thinking that Brock Lesnar will lose so he can go to UFC and fight Jon Jones. Is that true?
Yeah.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Is it a swerve? We don't know. My gut tells me it's not a swerve. It's what you think it is. It's an out for him to lose and leave. That's what I think. I think he ends up losing at SummerSlam. I think he ends up disappearing, fighting in, like, December against Jon Jones, and then popping back up the end of January for the Royal Rumble. That is, and then either finishing his deal at SummerSlam, at WrestleMania, or maybe he feels after he gets Jon Jones out of his way, you know what? He doesn't want to wrap up his deal. He's finished. He's now really done with UFC, and he locks in for a little bit longer. But that's my thought. Do you have a hunch on whether you think this was a swerve or whether it was an actual setup for him to leave?
Initially, I thought it was a setup for him to leave, but then it's like you said, you really don't know. Because how many times have we heard stories of, you know, this was the plan until the day of the show, and then they threw out the plan and went with a different plan. Like, they could pivot at any moment. So, I mean, at least this far out, the only benefit to dissecting little details like that is just so you can say, oh, I called it on such and such a date, and this is what happened. But we really don't know.
We don't. We don't know. Sometimes you can end up overthinking it a lot, too. But listen, it was very blatant. To see the Jon Jones stuff over the weekend really explode after UFC 214 and then have Heyman show up instantly to start Raw and say that. But man, for some reason, I really appreciated Brock this week. Like, I was explaining to Alexa why he's so mage that, like, he doesn't have to say anything. He can literally just jump there in place with the title and it looks so legit. Like, he still does look so legit. The losing to Goldberg meant nothing. It's like it never happened. It means nothing.
I forgot about it until you just said it.
Exactly. Lesnar's the man. You know how much I've talked to Lesnar at my shows when I've seen him? One head nod. I got one nice, solid, little head nod. And he actually head nodded back. That's as far as you get. The gimmick is lived nonstop. I don't talk to him. I don't see him in catering. There's nothing. He's a beast. He shows up. And he kicks ass. And it really is like that all the time. Speaking of kicking ass, I say speaking of way too much. I noticed I'm bringing to the table this week. Got to work on that. Let me try it again. He shows up and he kicks ass. Moving along. Big Cass.
Speaking of moving along.
Big Cass and Enzo. What the hell's going on here? Are we really just going to watch Enzo get beat up every week? I don't know if this is helping Big Cass anymore.
Yeah, and you know what also isn't helping Big Cass is that we don't know what, like, we never know when he's coming because his entrance music has changed 3 times in 3 weeks.
Has it really changed 3 times in 3 weeks?
Yes. This Monday he had a completely different theme than he had last week, and last week's theme was kind of tweaked. So it wasn't that far off from what he originally debuted with, but, like, it's not, like, it's just crazy at this point. And I don't think any of them fit.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't even noticed that part yet. I've heard people say it. I just don't know character-wise. It's just there's just something missing, and I think Cass has a ton of talent. I wouldn't sleep on him. I think he's pretty athletic. You know, he's not the greatest wrestler in the world, but he's a big guy who can get some stuff done. I think his talking is underrated. I think there's a lot of upside. They need to decide what they're doing with our guy, and they need to move quickly. And the Big Show thing, I feel like the Big Show, like, if this is all going to lead to it, if this was going to lead to some blow-off or, like, a SummerSlam thing, Big Show would have needed to do something. Or I would have liked to keep Enzo talking more and eventually him getting a match with him at SummerSlam, like we'd always said, a street fight. It feels like that's the only way you make this thing interesting is if Big Show's like, I'm sorry, Enzo, I haven't been able to get it done for you. I know you want your revenge and you deserve it. He's just too big. I can't do it. I can't see how anyone can beat him with their bare hands. And then Enzo goes, you know, you just said something that makes sense. Bare hands. No one can beat this guy with the bare hands. But I might be able to beat him with if I had a weapon. And Big Show's like, oh, that's true. And then you end up setting up for a Brooklyn street fight at SummerSlam. Right now, otherwise, unless you get into something, I don't see where this is going. And then you can end it with either Enzo getting a miracle win with a weapon and a punch from the Big Show, or Enzo gives it his best, they have a war, and he still loses, and it's finally over, and you just move on. But right now, it's like they seem like they were going to move on right away, but then they half-assed it, and they haven't moved on. But they haven't really furthered the story either.
Yeah, and there's no upside to him getting beat on every week, like, for either one of them, because it's like, at some point, Cass looks weak beating up on this guy that he just...
Yeah, it doesn't end up... Exactly. It just doesn't do enough. Hey, SGG, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Do you have some stats you have want to give us?
Yes, I have two stats. Number one, it was Becky and Naomi versus Carmella and Natalya this past week on SmackDown that landed Naomi in at number three on the Black Power rankings. Charlotte was nowhere near the match. But again, Charlotte was not the focus. It was all about Naomi. She got the win, her and Becky. And John Cena, we alluded to this a couple of times on the podcast. He's only been pinned 14 times clean in the last 10 years. No submissions and 14 clean pins in the last 10 years. Shinsuke Nakamura, the 14th, this past Tuesday.
He's had a good run, the John Cena. And I want to send our well wishes. I'm glad he turned out to be all right, because that was a scary toss there from Shinsuke.
Oh, man.
And when he said
he seemed to be all right immediately.
Yeah, no. I knew he was okay right away. They started showing replays of it right away. So somehow the ref gave word or whatever. They knew he was all right, but it was a scary moment. He said sorry. John said, don't be sorry. I thought the biggest botch of the whole show was, not to blow up the spot of the technical director, but whoever was technical directing must have gotten killed when they went to the bow and they cut away when they were about to bow to each other. Did you notice that?
I did not notice that.
They line up to about to bow, and then they cut to another angle so you can't see them. And then they cut right back, and they're finishing the bow. And I was like, dude, that's the first time we've gotten to see Shinsuke have a baby face moment like that where he bows with someone. Of course, he's Japanese. Like, it's a relevant thing. And then, you know, Cena's very cultured, loves Asia, like, is very aware. It's perfect.
He's Chinese, right? Like Mandarin or something like that, right?
Yeah, he knows Mandarin, yes. But he's also just a very international guy and, you know, a respectful guy. So it's perfect that they would bow to each other, and they kind of missed that shot. But whatever, I'm nitpicking. I don't want to blow up anyone's spot, even though I just did it. Next week, you will find out how you're getting tickets to Cheap Heat Live. You will find out where it's going to be. And we will give you more information on the T-shirts and everything as we get closer to SummerSlam weekend. I'm telling you, though, if you're planning on wanting to go to this Cheap Heat Live, stay very close and in touch with us in the podcast, because it will be very limited when it happens. But it will be a lituation. Stat Guy Greg, you've been Mage.
And you start have as well, as always.
And you guys out there, stay Mage.
Stay Mage.